Jeremy Garrett, you might know more readily as the fiddle player, all kinds of singing, all kinds of instrumentation of the infamous String Dusters. Well, Jeremy has a brand new album, solo album, not his first solo album, but the most recent one is called The RV Sessions. Interesting story behind that. You're going to learn a lot about the music and a lot about Jeremy and the whole concept behind the album. Jeremy Garrett on Unreal Bluegrass. Well, I'm really happy to have a guest. I'm a big fan of the infamous String Dusters. And actually, Jeremy Garrett, I met you as many years before the forming of the String Dusters as I actually did. But we have on the phone Jeremy Garrett. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. I was thinking that the String Dusters, we're going to talk about your new album, The RV Sessions. I have a lot of questions about that. But I was thinking that the String Dusters were maybe 10 plus years, but not that far. But I think I met you I saw you playing fiddle banjo duets with Ned Lubarecki, and that was before the String Dusters. I knew you were doing things on your own, but that was before that, and I thought that was more close in time. But
definitely. Well, actually, you know, I played with Chris Jones and the Night Drivers for quite a while.
That's
he
right.
He's a good friend of mine.
That's right.
And in fact, I ended up writing a lot of my songs with John Weisberger. He was also in the bass player in that band.
That's right.
And kind of went from there and did some freelancing into the String Dusters. And the String Dusters have been around almost 10 years now.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. All right. Well, cool. Yeah. Well, you have a new album out, and we're going to talk. This weaves around a little bit into the String Dusters and what you're doing. But I remember when you kind of declared through social media that this was going to be your thing. You were going to take off, get an RV, and now you have this album called The RV Sessions. And before we get into the music, what was the you're driving separately with Connie? Get into
my wife Connie and I travel around, and we have a cat named Bonnie, and she rides in here with us. But we lived in Nashville for about 13 years and owned a house and everything there, but we just kind of got a little restless to see this great country that we live in, and also a little restless to spend some time together. You know, when you're married to a full-time touring musician, you might not get to see each other a whole lot. And then Connie had a full-time job that she was holding down there in Nashville, a really great job that she had. But it was just time for us to sort of spend some time together. You know, we've been married almost 19 years now, so it was time to do some hanging out, and we thought the perfect opportunity would just be to go ahead and live this dream of this RV lifestyle now, as opposed to waiting until we retired and got much older.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you know how many miles you've put on since this journey began?
You know, probably, if I had to guess, maybe 15,000 or so miles.
Okay.
I mean, something like that. And we've had to skip a bunch of it. You know, I've been doing full-time touring music stuff ever since I was probably about 18 years old. And a lot of times you have to drive right past the signs, you know, that say, you know, turn here to go see this awesome national park or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times you have to drive right past them and you can't see them. And so this was also part of that, was just to kind of get plugged in. But it's amazing how vast this country is. You can't possibly see it all on it one time around, I don't think. You might have to take a couple, two or three times to really get soaked in, you know.
You're right. And I will tell you, in my younger days, when I had friends who would sleep in cars and camp on the side of the road, drove across the country three ways, three different times, three different routes, and you were absolutely right. You can't imagine the things that are out there to see. And it's so great that you're in an RV now. You can take some time and look around a little bit. There's so much to see.
We've been loving it. And this has been also an inspiration to my own personal music. You know, I'm a songwriter as well as a musician, you know, fiddle player and guitar player, and I play some mandolin as well. Do all kinds of singing, but you know, and the Dusters is you know, so fun for me, and I love playing with the infamous String Dusters. You know, it's such a fantastic opportunity, and all those guys are so great. But you know, it's also just kind of one part of what I do as a musician, and so I needed a little release as far as an artistic release is concerned, as far as, you know, writing my own music and having an outlet for that. And so the idea came about to have this RV session, and, you know, all the music on the CD I wrote or co-wrote with several people in the RV or while I was living in it, you know, throughout the trips. And it's just sort of been a thing that's been very inspirational to me as an artist individually to sort of see what more I'm capable of and get to spend some time, you know, creating and putting out some of those thoughts that I've had, you know, as far as what songs that I want to write,
well,
feels and all.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've listened to it quite a bit. By the way, it came out the end of June. Was it June 25th or so this year?
Yeah, June 25th was the official release.
Okay, and then we'll talk about where people can find that. I'm sure they can get it through your website. But correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Once I listen to these tunes and the lyrics and the feel, I think it's, and I didn't do an in-depth analysis of all the other tunes you've written, but I think this is a very intimate, personal communication from you, but it's also inspired by your travel because you have the instrumental version, the only fully instrumental tune, Grand Mesa, which we know that's a real place. Sometimes some of the songs you talk about, you weave it into, you know, birds have to fly in other words, you're seeing the natural things that you're also putting into context with these very intimate personal songs, I think. I mean, I could be totally off base, but that's the way I hear it.
Well, definitely, you know, I mean, it's hard to always, you know, be able to plug some of my more introspective songs around the Nashville scene or even with the String Dusters, you know, in that regard. But, you know, to be able to sort of have time to put a collection of songs together that sort of help complement each other in this regard, you know. Some of it's imaginary, for sure, like Grand Mesa. I can remember when I sat down and arranged that piece for a slideshow. Actually, my wife had put together. She hit me up. She was like, "Hey, you should put some music together for the slideshow for the website." And so, literally, it just poured right out and took me no time at all. And I love it when that happens. It doesn't always happen that way. In fact, it's pretty rare. But you know, it just kind of came out because I was sitting, you know, right there at the Grand Mesa, pretty much looking at that whole inspirational view. And so, you know, it was just like it came right out of the scenery at me, you know. But other things, you know, I rode around while I was still living in Nashville, in the RV, by the way. We did some practice living there just to make sure we could handle all the systems and everything.
Really?
But, yeah, just to make sure that, you know, Connie could handle the rig and drive it and hook up the towing, all that kind of stuff. Now she's fully capable of moving the vehicle down the road by herself if she needs to, if I'm on tour and I can't get back. So, it took a little time for us to sort of practice that stuff together, but, you know, I kind of wrote some final songs there while I was in Nashville, and some of those are on there as well.
I never thought about that. It's a good idea to kind of make sure you can actually pull off what you're going to do, but it makes perfect sense. And it's worked for you. You've been doing this for, what, a year or two maybe?
About a year and a half now. Yeah. In the rig, and about you know, since January is when we actually launched on this circle around the U.S.
Now, when you started doing this, of course, you have to you catch up to the String Dusters, and you take a different route and just find them wherever they're performing. Which, by the way, I don't know how you do it because they perform all the time. I mean, you must just be right behind them. I saw you guys in Gray Fox. I wasn't on the air, but I know you were there Thursday night.
Yeah,
and they closed that down. But you always the next day you're somewhere else. How do you?
Yeah, that next day we went to String Summit, which is basically on the coast of Oregon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we do travel quite a bit. Our logistics are pretty outrageous. It would drive most people crazy to try to figure out how to make it all work. But we just firmly believe in living a lifestyle that's, you know, conducive to what makes us happy, you know. And playing music is a huge part of that, but also being able to live where you want to live and being able to you know, come from a creative place, you know, that's created for you is important to each one of us. So we kind of all just made the decision when we left Nashville, because we all at one time lived there together, not in the same residence, but in the same town. And when we all sort of finally moved from that town, and keeping the band together was, of course, number one, but living where you wanted to live was important, and so everybody has kind of dispersed to the places where they want to be, except for me, and I'm trying to figure out where that may be, but until then, I'm happy to be just traveling around, seeing the sights.
You wrote some of these obviously while you were on the road. You wrote some of them when you were back in Nashville. But mm-hmm. of the list of the 12 songs that I have, do you remember which ones that were really inspired on the road? We talked about Grand Mesa, but were there some that just came right from the experience of being on the road?
Yeah, Grand Mesa. You know, also Lean on Love, I know, was a big, you know, inspiration at that time. And, you know, some of these, like Fly Away to Your Love, you know, was one I wrote with Benny Galloway, actually, who's a great Oh Little Darling was the one I wrote with Benny Galloway, who's a great songwriter from the he was from the Fort Wayne area, now in Atlanta.
We
wrote that together, and that was a fun one.
He was always kind of the fifth Beatle to Yonder Mountain String Band. You know,
I'd agree with that.
For a long time, it would be Yonder Mountain and Benny Galloway, but he could never be part of Yonder Mountain.
In fact, Benny, you know, they call him Burl. He actually helped me write what I feel like is the most bluegrass cut on the record, which is "What's That You're Doing."
Okay.
So
now, so you didn't record? Did you record these on the road, or did you come back to one?
Yeah, in fact, I carry around a full spectrum of recording equipment and gear, and I would basically record all these demos on the road. I play all the parts, you know, and sing all the parts.
Well, I noticed that,
on the whole project. And you know, it was just because, you know, I was sitting here and I was inspired and ready to do it, you know, ready to sort of put some things down. You know, some of this was stuff that I had kind of put down already as a song demo, but wanted to make it a little bit better for this recording, so I kind of redid it. But it kind of feels to me like one of the more honest recordings I've ever made, because it wasn't really coming from a place of, you know, here I have this idea for this, you know, record where I want to all, like, you know, have all this complimentary stuff as far as, like, you know, slick recording and, you know, all the stuff that normally goes along with a record, with all the preconceived ideas that you have for the songs and everything. This really was just more of like just me sitting down in my living room here and just recording out and doing the best, you know, performance I could for each track. And just sort of layering it up, and then at the end, I had a few more songs to appear on the project, but I didn't feel like they gelled, you know, as well as all these did together. So I just kind of let those go off the project. But yeah, it was really a lot of fun, and in fact, I got to credit my wife for being an inspiration to finally, you know, just do it and put it out there. You know, she was always a very positive influence in trying to get this music out, so that was a big part of it.
Who muted the cat while you were doing this in the RV?
You know, we have a really chill cat. In fact, I would recommend if you ever have a pet in an RV to have a very relaxed one. She's totally happy to be in here. She never wants to go outside. And you know, we're very careful with cat litter and stuff, so there's no smell. You know, most people, in fact, when they come in here, don't even know we have a cat until she comes sneaking out to get petted. But you might hear a cat meow in there somewhere.
Every once in a while,
I seem to remember a specific spot, but I can't recall right now where it is. You just have to listen for it.
You know, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Jeremy Garrett about his new album, The RV Sessions, which is a neat idea. And I keep coming back to this feeling. This is a very, when I say personal, I don't mean like, you know, it's your own introspective thing. I just think it's a very personal quality, especially something like the tune You. It's just kind of like, it's just Jeremy, and it's a very stark recording. And some of these things you kind of layer up a lot with the extra fiddle overlays. But You is just real, just a real personal tune.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I wanted to try to do something, you know, as a songwriter, I've grown a lot in Nashville, I felt like, you know, over the years. And, you know, my songs were very one-sided. You know, songwriters tend to write sad songs at first. I don't know why that is, or at least of my generation, people are gravitating towards that. But once I started figuring out, hey, there's a lot more to life than just that, especially when you're writing music that you want to try to share with somebody and have an impact. And I realized when I was just more honest with what I was feeling, what I was thinking about, it probably would translate probably a lot better to more people, you know, like more people would be able to identify with what I was feeling, you know, if I was just being honest, because we all have similar emotions at some point in time, I feel like. And just writing about these things, you know, a lot of it was with co-write partners. You know, John Meisberger is one of my main writing partners. He wrote a bunch of them on here with me, actually. And he taught me a lot about, you know, putting lyrics together and different phrases and stuff. I picked up a lot of songwriting tricks from him, you know. But, yeah, I just had a blast putting all this stuff together. I really did.
Let me ask you something, Jeremy. This is something I think is very distinctive to I hear it a lot in the infamous String Dusters, and I know exactly, I can describe it. I can even tell you the song that leaps out of my head just because I'm just sitting here right now thinking of it. But you have an interesting beginning to a number of songs that you write and play. And I don't know how to describe it musically because I'm not smart enough, but there is a kind of a not a loud, strong strum, but a good strum of a guitar at the same time you're pulling a bow across the fiddle. And for people that maybe haven't heard RV Sessions yet, instantly Rockets from the infamous String Dusters. That's that sound. And I, you know, I'm talking about the opening. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, you know, I guess it's just an articulation thing maybe or something. I always try to play with as much purpose as I can, you know, and especially, you know, coming from a bluegrass world where that, you know, music and musicianship is, in the integrity level is always expected to be really high. And I always appreciated that about bluegrass music in particular, how good it was and how, like, there was no, like, sort of easing into, I mean, you know, if you're doing it on purpose and you're going to sort of jam into something, sure, you know. But when it comes time to, like, play your part, I guess I learned from some, you know, some of the older generation cats that, you know, you were supposed to do that with purpose. And so, you know, it's probably been drilled into me over the years.
And on this album, Jeremy, on the RV Sessions, and I don't know how to musically describe it, but if you listen to the beginning of Fly Away to Your Love, Lean on Love, Will You Find a Way, and a little bit on What Did You Have in Mind, there's a guitar strum with a fiddle's not, you know, overpowering, but it's almost simultaneous. I get this, like, it's almost like the G grass acoustic wall of sound as I recognize it when it happens. I know it's you instantly. I know that's your signature sound.
Well, I appreciate that. That's, to me, that's like kind of one of the biggest compliments you can get as a musician, that you have a certain style that is recognizable. You know, that's what you hope to achieve, you know, and that's not necessarily something that you try to plan out.
Right.
Like, I didn't, like, think about how am I going to do that. You know, it just more naturally, I guess, happens, and that's probably just because of, you know, the influences that I've had over the years and also been able to have a real platform and chance to the String Dusters and myself to actually just be creative, you know.
Do you recognize at all what I'm talking about, or am I just making this up?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, hitting that one chord on the downbeat.
Okay, yes.
You know, hitting that with purpose, I think that's super important, you know, especially on a collection of songs where, you know, I don't really play five-string banjo like Earl Scruggs, you know. So if the music's going to have drive, it's got to come from somewhere. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, bearing down on some of it with the fiddle and that guitar, you know, I listen to a lot of Tony Rice, so my rhythm probably, in my mind, I'm playing just like him, even though I know it's not anything close, but in my mind, that's what I'm trying to achieve.
Well, as long as you're aiming for that.
Yeah, you know, the other things, too, is just, you know, trying to play with that purpose, you know, is important to me, and integrity and articulation, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, execute everything perfect on this record. I let some of the blemishes go by, you know, sometimes if I feel like the soul and the raw energy is captured, and that's more important sometimes than getting it slick, you know, at least in my mind.
When you say articulation, what do you mean? I think I get it, but for people listening, can you explain that a little more?
Well, you know, if there's a run of notes or something, being able to hear all that individually
clearly
and putting an emphasis on and an importance on each note, not letting just notes fly by because you can play them fast or, you know, connect them together, but like trying to really make each note count, you know, and each role of instrument is fun to play those together, you know, because I'll be able to fiddle chop, say, for example, and mandolin chop on some of these songs. And I sort of have to approach it differently depending on what part of the song it is. You know, same with guitar. If the guitar has more of a choppy rhythm part, then I tend to like play a little more legato maybe on the fiddle. But I might help accentuate that with the mandolin.
Do you,
so that's kind of how I look at it.
Do you feel like as you're getting a little older, not that you're old, but do you feel like you recognize as a musician that you don't have to fill every space with a note?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I heard that lesson when I was really young. My dad said it's not sometimes what you play, it's what you don't play that makes the music.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, you know, that's one of those things that make, that's easy, common sense stuff. But until you do get a little more mature, I think you don't really know what that means. And I feel like, you know, having that time to be real creative and realizing that space in music is very important. You know, like this whole project to me had a lot of space because it doesn't have bass, you know, upright bass on. In fact, I had one guy say that he loved that because he was able to practice his bass with the recording.
Really?
Which I thought was pretty funny. But aside from that, you know, there's no bass, there's no banjo, you know, just mostly guitar stuff and some fiddles and mandolin and, you know, all kinds of vocals and stuff. But, you know, I try to just, you know, do the best that I can with what I, you know, am sort of talented with. And even though I play a little banjo for my own sake at the house, I wasn't comfortable enough to put that on there, you know. So
the,
I just went for those things that I felt real good about.
You do a lot of, you mentioned layering, I think, and I mean to say that, I'm not saying it correct, but L-A-Y-E-R-I-N-G of the fiddle. And I, when I listen to What Did You Have in Mind, there's like three or four of you in there, sounds like.
Yeah, three fiddles. You know, I wanted a tune that had that sort of vibe if it was possible. But, you know, when I wrote that song with John Weisberger quite a while ago, actually, that might be actually one of the older cuts on the record as far as the song goes. But I just kind of always heard, you know, I'll replay songs after I wrote them, you know, kind of through my mind as I drive down the road a lot of times and try to think of different arrangement ideas, but that was always one I had for that was the triple fiddles, mm-hmm. you know, and a huge bluegrass influence, of course, you know, it's all those triple fiddle things, and not something that's necessarily my personal forte, but I thought for that song it really fit.
Oh, works well. Your singing is you have a very distinctive voice. There's a little bit of a bluesy sound in some of the things that, like, Will You Find a Way. You actually sort of your voice gets a little growly in that at some point.
Nice. Yeah, that was kind of an experimental track, you know, the Will You Find Your Way, Will You Find a Way, you know, I put a little electric guitar on there, a little shaker, but I still feel like I wanted to capture that bluegrass type vibe, you know, that drivey sound, and so I, you know, kept the mandolin in there and take a mandolin break on there that I thought was a lot of fun, and you know, as far as the singing goes, you know, I feel like that's definitely something I've been able to get more in touch with after, you know, spending so much time with the String Dusters playing for these big crowds that we're playing for these days. And it's, you know, it's a different delivery system than I used to know, you know, and I've learned a lot from it. Just in the sense of, you know, dynamic, how to sing dynamically and range, you know. In bluegrass, I was usually hired as the tenor singer, the guy that can sing usually pretty much the highest, not always, but I can get up there. And so you use a kind of a different part of your voice. It's like an edgier part. But to sing lead, you know, it's a different thing. You want kind of a little more of that style in there, and you can develop that over time. But, man, it does take some time. You need experience trying to sing in that lower register for a while, especially if you've been up in that tenor range for a long time. So that was kind of what I felt good about, I guess, as far as this record goes, well, too, is being able to sort of say, hey, you know, I can sing this slow stuff.
Yeah. When you mentioned earlier different delivery system, is that what you were talking about, is that you have to, you're no longer doing that high part that you're, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that was a term that I'm not going to pick everything you say apart. I'm not, but that was just something that struck me as different delivery system. And then you went into the experience with the String Dusters. Is that what you
definitely
would call on the
day? I mean, you know, singing lead is just definitely, you kind of need to be at a lower register, especially when you're singing with a bunch of guys and you want to have three-part harmonies stacked up on those choruses, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to be in a position in the melody that's not putting somebody up in the stratosphere, you know, to sing way too high or sing way too low. You kind of need to pick a good key that matches your voice, you know, but so that you still sound confident and strong, but be able to accommodate, hopefully, a higher harmony part.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still sing a lot of the tenor and the dusters, and a couple of us, me and Travis especially, switch on and off a lot on the tenor parts. So I'm still hopefully working out that tenor range, you know, and not losing it, and I've gained a little bit more on the bottom end by, you know, singing more of this lead stuff.
But,
yeah, it's definitely, you know, it comes from a whole handful of influences. My dad was way into Flat Scruggs and Bill Monroe and Ralph Stanley. And my mom was into Michael Jackson and Terrence Trent D'Arby and the Beatles. So.
Okay. Well, I think that sums everything up right there. Let me ask you this. If you're listening to music and it's not yours and you're not in the middle of recording, I'm always curious what does a fiddle player listen to? I know you play other things, but primarily I know you as a fiddle player. Do you listen to fiddles? Do you listen to if you're driving down the road and you're just kind of clearing your mind, this project, RV Sessions is in the bank. I mean, you've already got it done. What are you listening to as you're driving down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I used to listen to a ton of music, a lot. And I used to listen to a lot of just straight-up bluegrass, you know. And I started noticing that some of the bluegrass records coming out had some of the same fiddle players on them all the time. And then I actually would, because I listened to it so much, I would accidentally, like, reproduce their licks on stage when I play.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what you want, you know, especially if you're, in my mind, if you're imitating like Kenny Baker and those kind of guys. But, you know, and sometimes the new guys, too, they're all great players. I don't mean anything like that.
I understand.
It's just kind of one of those, you know, things that happens if you're a total ear player like me. And this isn't the reason why I don't listen to as much music now, but I just find myself, because I play so much and I write so much, like literally, you know, between sound check and playing the gig, the String Dusters will play, you know, 3 hours a night plus. And, I'm doing any of my own thing, that's, you know, extra time. So, you know, honestly, when I'm rolling down the road, I listen to news, mostly news and talk radio and politics.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad that came at the end of our conversation, because we're not going to go there right
now. No, I hope not.
I just thought you might drive down the road and just listen to nothing. I mean, if you're driving across this country, which is as mind-numbing as you know, you just roll down the road. I don't know if your cat would jump out, but I mean, I would just...
Well, you know, we have a diesel puller. It's like an international truck, basically, and it's a chassis with an RV on the back. But because it's a puller, it's a little more engine noise up front. So
okay.
We do tend to kind of just sit and let the road noise sometimes wash us over for an hour or two going down the road, for sure.
Well, listen, Jeremy, I love this RV Sessions. I think it's a neat concept, and I just am amazed that you can do this while you're traveling in between sessions with the String Dusters and get this stuff done and record it in an RV and then get it all back into a package. And let's talk about... how do people find? Are you selling this in live shows right now, or is it just off of your website?
Yes, I'm just kind of integrating it into the String Dusters theme. But you know, I do my own shows around the country sometimes when Connie and I travel around, and we've done several house concerts and theater shows, and even some free shows in the park and some different things with, you know, different communities. But so I'm doing it that way. But you can get it online on my website, which is GarrettGrass.com.
Okay.
And you can go there, or you can find it on iTunes. You really just need to download it. You can do that. But I'm really proud of the packaging. You know, it's all recycled CD cover, and it's a stamp that Connie actually designed to make on the cover and everything. And so it's got a cool packaging. So if you're into that, it's worth it. But if not, go to iTunes.
If they go to Garrett Grass, they would. Of course, they might see where you're going to be with the String Dusters, but did we also find out where you're just going to be, where you're going to be alone?
Definitely, yeah. Okay. I will update as far as, you know, dates. And I have a running blog also of the journey and some pictures and slideshows along the way. We update that as much as we can, which is kind of tough sometimes, but we'll be there.
Well, man, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy as heck because you guys are just always traveling around. I mean that literally and figuratively. I mean, you are traveling, but then you're
pretty much
your gig quotient is unbelievable. So I appreciate Jeremy Garrett you coming by and talking about
this. Thank you so much
RV
for the opportunity and the time.
Yeah.
And your time as well. I appreciate that.
All right, man. Listen, see you down the road somewhere, and keep listening to this music. I enjoy it.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Jeremy. See you, man.
All right. Talk to you later.